So that song goes right along with the next one that Miss Noor is going to sing for us. And I'm glad Miss Noor can sing for us this morning. She scared me several months ago when she fell. But she's back on her feet and doing real well. She's going to sing the song, "This Is Just What Heaven Means to Me."
Y'all pray for me because this is the first time I've done this in a year's time. So I hope I do as well as I used to. Country where no twilight shadows deepen, unending day when night will never be. A city where no storm clouds cannot gather. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. What joy 'twill be when we get over yonder and join the throne around the crystal sea. With friends and loved ones we'll crown Christ forever. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. And when at last we see the face of Jesus, before whose image others' loves all flee, and when they crown him Lord of all, I'll be there, for this is just what heaven means to me. What joy 'twill be when we get over yonder and join the throne around the crystal sea. With friends, with loved ones, we'll crown Christ forever. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me.
Y'all give her another round of applause. Tell her thank you for doing that. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. You want a microphone?
It's most of you know I've been unemployable for a year, 1 year. It's been a rough year, and I don't ever want to repeat it again. And I want to thank each and every one of you that was so gracious to me during all of this. The ones who made telephone calls, who gave me food, who sent cards, and who came to see me. And I just love each and every one of you, and I praise God for you every night of my life. Thank you, Lord.
Ms. Noor, this church loves you, and we know that you love us too. Thank you for your service to our church and singing today's special. New Year's, a new day, a time of reflection, a time of looking back and looking forward. Amen. I am not one to do resolutions anymore. I have failed so many times. And so I've just washed my hands of that. But as I mentioned this last Wednesday night, it's kind of hard to have a part of a new year and not think back and to think forward and to take stock of your life and to be able to do what it is that you know that you should be doing as a Christian. I wanted this service to be something like that. And in the course of the past few weeks, God's laid this text upon my heart, and I believe it was for New Year's and for this year in particular. If you will, please stand. We're going to be reading John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. In John chapter 15, Jesus is giving this sermon to his disciples, and he's beginning to bring a few things to light. Here in chapter 1, he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, and it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch that is and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire to be burned." And he ends on these last two, verses 7 and 8. "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." If I was going to put a title to this message, but more importantly what I believe, I'm going to stay in this kind of theme for a little while. It's the idea of abiding in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for being the source of our blessings, to being the source of our lives, for being everything for us. Lord, if there would be one desire of this pastor here today in the midst of these audience, that we abide in you. Not simply upon the words of a man or songs or the lyrics of a song, but in the one that inspires all those things, that controls and uplifts all those things, Lord, that we may bear fruit so that you may be glorified. Lord, we love you, and it's in your Son's name we do pray, our Lord, Savior, and friend. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. In those first couple of verses, there isn't much to praise in our end of it. We see a few things. He tells us every branch that beareth not fruit is taken away. And we know these things. If you've ever been in an orchard, when you're out there working on those trees and whatnot, if they're not bearing fruit, you dig them up. You tear down the branches, you dig them up, you put something in that will produce fruit. There's no point in building a tree for fruit if it doesn't produce fruit. And then even with the fruit, he tells us this idea, he purges those that do produce fruit. So if we do well, Jesus cuts us back and allows us to produce more fruit. But then in verse 3 and verse 4, we get to the meat of what he's trying to tell us after he gives us this understanding of what it means to be part of the vine. He says, "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken in you." And he gives this command, "Abide in me." It's amazing how simple that one command is. He tells us to abide in him. That's it. That's the only thing that he gives credence to. This is the only command he comes off. And a matter of fact, if you continue to read, he says, "As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." So it's not even the branch's job to produce fruit. It is God's job to produce the fruit in us. The only job we have is to abide in him. Now, if I was going to be a pastor here, I think a lot of people get discouraged when they don't bear fruit. That's all they're worried about, is bearing fruit, doing the good that is in God. They get all worried about being the Christian and putting on, you know, the look as a good Christian should, and they don't fit that puzzle piece, if you will. But that's not our job. I want you to say that with me. That's not our job. We have one job as Christians, to abide. We have one job as a Christian, and that's to make sure that your relationship with your Savior is as close as it possibly can be. Amen?
Amen.
If you'll worry about that, listen, the fruit will come in due season. If you will worry about being close to the vine, if you will be worried about the one thing about being close with your Savior, that's all you've got to do. And listen, that's not hard, especially when you recognize how beautiful He is. When you recognize how wonderful blessings it is to be attached to Jesus Christ as our Savior. I want to be close to the one that forgives me of my sins. Can I get an amen? There is so much that the Bible speaks of us being abiding in Him. He says this in many other ways to other people along the way. He says, if you wish to follow me, He says, take up thy cross and follow. He says, if you want to be part of me, you have to be a part of what I'm a part of. You have to connect yourself to the whole membrane of the tree. You have to get to the vine, get to the roots. You are the one that has to be attached to me. He says this in many ways all throughout the Gospels, and there's only one job for us. That's the focus on Him. Let me say this. If we're going to go into this new year wanting to do good for ourselves, you focus on one thing, one simple thing. Do not neglect the Spirit in you. Do not neglect your Savior. Do not neglect your time with God. If anything, I want you to focus on it and conserve it and hold close to it, and I never want you to let your time with God go. There will be many things that pull you away from God this year, but don't let it. One of the most interesting illustrations that I've ever seen about living the Christian life, it's not about performing it, it's about staying. It's about staying right there. Christ will use us if we will just listen to Him. If we will just abide in the Word of God, if we will just be there with His people, if we will just uplift Him in song and commit those songs to our hearts, if we will write His words on the tablets of our hearts, if we will be genuine and close to Him, everything else will smooth itself out. One of the things that this illustration that challenged me was they took a hula hoop and they put it on stage. And I was real close to doing this, but I know that I embarrass people when I call them up on stage. He took a hula hoop and he put it on stage and he got two people to come up. And he asked one of them, he says, I want you to stay in this hula hoop as much as you possibly can. And him and the other guy that he called up, he says, it's our job not to get into the circle, but to get him out. And so they were pushing and shaking and pushing and shaking and screaming and getting him disoriented and trying to get him out of that circle. And eventually, the young man fell out of it. And everything got quiet. Not a problem in the world until the young man tried to get back into the circle. As Christians, we are called to stay in this abiding. That's what abide means. It means to stay in me. And I'm going to tell you something. The devil and the world are trying to get you out of that circle as much as possible. They're trying to push you and yell at you and shake you and try to get everything in you out of that circle. And it's your job. If you stay out of the circle, the world and the devil's not going to bother you. You're already taken care of. But the minute you try to get back into devotions, back into church, back into reading Scripture, back into praying, I'm telling you, it's happened every time in my life when I recommit myself. And you tell me if I'm wrong, Christians. Every time I went to recommit myself, the devil tends to throw more and more and more at me. That's a lot about a holy grunting for all y'all who are listening. It's a lot of holy grunting. They know. We know. I'm not preaching anything different today that we haven't already known. We want to abide. That's our goal. That's our only command, is to abide in Him, and the world is trying to get us out of that. It's amazing how much a Christian thrives if we understand the simple job of being faithful to abiding in Him. My first point is this, is we have one job, just one. You don't have to perform Christianity, because then it becomes about works, amen? You have one job, and that is to follow Christ, to abide, to attach yourself to Him, and to never let Him go. Make it personal. Make a commitment to be true and genuine to this cause.
Don't follow after an individual, for they will lead you astray. It has happened to me on several times where I've committed everything to this person, I've entrusted them, and they have either failed or led me astray. I can't trust it in a book or in devotion to change my life. There's only one thing that's going to change my life, and that is the abiding in Christ. We have this one job, to stay in Christ. The addition to staying is to receiving. As a branch goes into a vine, I love, if you ever get to the idea of grafting, I want you, if you have a phone, don't do it now, but when you get out of church, Google grafting. Grafting of fruit trees and olive trees. It's an amazing concept. They take the health of an entire stalk, grows out from that trunk and the roots. That's all one system. And the branches that spurred off of that are where the fruit overflows. So if the trunk or the vine and the roots are a good stalk, then it will produce and it will continue to produce. And people who grow orchards know this. And so when they get ready to put in a new stalk, if they find a root system, a vine that actually grows, they will not get rid of it. They'll cut it and then they'll branch and they'll graft new branches into that root system so that it will produce the fruit that comes from that vine. Amazing thing. One that I remember when I was, I preached on this the first time I was a youth pastor, and I just told myself I was going to do this. Here's another thing I want you to Google. Just start a list. Look up a fruit salad tree. How many of you have ever heard of that? A fruit salad tree? You're going to be astounded. You're going to Google like, no way, that's real. It's a tree that produces 4 to 5 different kinds of fruit. And they produce it all year long on one tree. And how they do that is they graft in to this well-nurturing stalk. They graft it in there, and it takes so much precision and so much beauty to graft in these branches from other trees and put them into the stalk that gives them everything that they need. And they produce, and they produce, and they produce. There's a few things inside of these verses that I found beautiful and at the same time convicting. If you look back in John 15, 1 and 2, he says, I am the true vine. And the Father and the husbandman, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, taketh away. A lot of people think that it's the, when you have a tree that's bearing fruit and then the branch begins to not bear fruit, it's the tree's problem. That's not true. If the rest of the tree is producing fruit, then it can't be the vine. It's the branch. And so what happens is, and I've even come to know this, if I look at trees, I always look for this. I'll see a healthy tree, and there'll be this one branch that stays on there, and it's dead, and it's dying. And it's the interesting thing is, it's taking the sustenance out of the vine and keeping it. Even though it's dead and dying, it will continue to take up the health, and you'll see the other limbs begin to die as well, because that one that is not living and producing and doing what it is sucking all the life out of everything else. So you know what has to happen in that pruning process? You got to go to that one limb that's dying and that's taking all the life of everybody else, and you've got to cut it out. I'm going to ask you something in our own personal lives. Is there something in your life that's dragging you down and sucking the life out of every little thing you do? It could be anything. But if it takes away from God, if it takes away from the life that is in this, if this is a worldly branch that is dead to it and not producing any fruit, is it worth having? Is it worth dedicating so much of your life to just take out of everything else? We find in Christian life that one of the good parts of being a husbandry, is God being a husbandry of this church, is that he says, listen, there are some things that we should not do, and we take it away. That's just part of living. You grow and new branches come. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad, and you can't keep it. You can't keep it in our personal lives, and we can't keep it as Christians. If there's something in us that's taking the life out of us, we have to acknowledge it, and we have to get rid of it. He says, I like this part as he turns. He says, every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, and that it may bring forth fruit. I love this part. Because he tells us as we're continuing to abide in him, we're going to produce fruit, but we have to be trimmed back. We have to be purged. So that we continue to grow and grow and produce. I've also seen these, and listen, I've been looking at trees for probably 10, 15 years now. Every time I see a fruit tree, I look for these things. And there are these branches that go ultra long. Y'all ever seen these branches? I've got a fig tree outside the house, and this is the one that I've been looking for mostly. And I don't eat them. They don't produce a lot of big fig trees, and I think a lot of that is because there's not another fig tree to feed off of. And there's this, and so the birds will come in and they'll feed, but every once in a while there'll be this one branch that hits my truck. It comes back every year I trim it off. It'll grow straight out right into my parking spot. And I don't notice it for the longest time because it's on the passenger side, but every once in a while I'll start hearing it, and I'll say, oh, that branch is back. And it grows so long, and it's funny because you never see any figs on it, ever. It's just a long branch that just takes up a lot of its life. Never produces any trees or any figs, never produces anything that is needful for it. And there's something that you and I can learn from this. You ever take on so much of your life that it thins you out? Say amen if you're like me. You ever take on so much that all you do is worry about growth and growing and doing and all about these things, and we worry about, hey, how am I going to better myself? And then we stretch ourselves, and the word growing up, we spread ourselves thin. That we fail in a lot of things and we don't produce any fruit. It's times like that where we recognize that God has to prune us. It doesn't mean that we're a bad branch. It just means that we spread ourselves thin. And listen, here goes another verse that I want us to bring back to this. In Psalms chapter 46, verse 10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." So the idea that you and I, we can be so busy and so going and so getting that we forget to be still. That we forget to look back and we forget to think about how God is and who He is and what He's under control. And it takes us all these things that we recognize that we're going too fast, too much, that we're not bearing any fruit. We need to learn to be still. I'll say this, and this is probably the most convicting part of this sermon for me. Abiding in Christ is not a passive action. It's not a name. I want you to think about that for a second. I want you to really chew on this. Being a Christian is not a passive action. You don't do it one time and then it's done for the rest of your life. It takes a certain amount of dedication to be a Christian. Each and every day when you wake up, it takes a dedication. When you go to work, it takes dedication. Can I get an amen? Some of us who have been there, we know. Matter of fact, it's kind of hard even to drive without understanding it takes dedication to be a Christian. He just flipped me off. How dare he cut me off? I'm going to show him eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And we misquote scripture like that all the time. Listen, it takes an active passion to be a Christian, to wake up every day and to open up that Bible and to find something personal. To do it and to achieve it. And listen, I'm not preaching above the choir here. I want us all to understand that it has to come back to this place that we are abiding in Him. That's our one job. And that means to open up that Bible again. And that means to get down on your knees again and pray. It means to abide and to stay and to keep going back to the fundamentals of our faith. And every one of those fundamentals is not about growing a church. It's about growing you as a person. It's not growing a philosophy. It's not growing a monopoly. It's not growing anything other than you yourself. I think a lot of people, we forget that. This church is not here to make a difference in North Carolina. And it's not here to make a difference in Carteret County. And it's not here to make a difference in Morehead City. It's here to make a difference in every individual life that comes through these doors and that we get to contact outside these doors. Amen. It's made for you. This whole process that he's talking about, this abiding, is not meant for the entirety of the tree. It's meant for one branch. You do it, and you do it, and you do it, and you do it, and you do it. And we will all thrive and grow and produce fruit together if we will just commit to abiding. There's no work involved in abiding. It's just committing to staying in that circle. Committing to staying in that vine. And if the world pushes you out, that's okay. You get back in it. If you fail to recognize that you have too much in your life and one day you wake up and you are not producing any fruit as a Christian, then you have to recognize and be willing to be pruned of God so that you can produce fruit.
Quick story to help hit that one point home. Recognizing that we need to be pruned.
I got saved late in life. I was late in life in comparison to a lot of other Christians that I know. I was 18, 19 years old when I accepted Christ in that growth process. And I remember as I was sitting, I was coming to knowledge of Christ and Scripture and biblical living, and I remember thinking, I can't continue. And I remember the sermon. It was the one that says, you can't serve two gods. Can't serve God and mammon. And I remember being in the pews thinking, if I'm going to apply this, I've got to recognize that there are things in my life that I do that are not godly. And I am serving the world. And I am serving myself. And I can't do that as a Christian. And I remember looking at my room. I was in my room doing the devotion. And I remember looking at my room and I saw stuff. Posters, movies, books, things, even music, even CDs. I know that's hard for some of us to imagine, but CDs and cassettes that weren't godly. And I remember, I was looking at my iPod, or it wasn't an iPod, it was an MP3 player. And inside that MP3 player had some of the most awful music. And it's music I listened to my whole life. Anybody, you've ever been there? It's music you listen to your whole life and you never recognize how bad it was until you really started to look at it. Now, I'm not going to sit here and talk about the things that were on that MP3 player. Y'all would think a lot less of me. But I remember listening to it and thinking, I would never condone that in my family's life, in my friend's life, or in my life. I would never do the things that this song is talking about. So I wiped my MP3 player, wiped it. Matter of fact, I had a friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine, he was a black pastor, worked on the aircrafts with me, and he gave me a whole bunch of stuff to put on it. I remember that all those movies that I had, all the posters, all the CDs, all the things that I had, and listen, you're going to be shocked, but I burned them all. I went outside in a barrel and I said, this is my decision where I'm going to change. Now, it doesn't have to be as drastic. It doesn't have to look like mine by any stretch of the imagination. But I remember sitting there and my mom and my brother came out to stop me. Because, especially my mom, and I understand why, because she recognized how much money she spent on me that I was just throwing away. I mean, lots of money that I was just burning. And I said, she says, why don't you give it away? I said, if I give it to somebody else, that's just another bad thing I'm putting in somebody else's life. I haven't got rid of it. I've just spread it out. If anything, it would be easier and more less convicting if I just kept it and didn't use it. I was like, but this way, I'm not tempted to use it. I'm not giving it to anybody else. And I recognized something, that I was spread too thin and I needed to be pruned. And I want to tell you something. Pruning is not easy. Pruning is the most difficult thing you can do as a Christian, is recognizing the world in your life and getting rid of it, because that means you're going to lose some of the equity you put into it, and you're going to lose a life that you've built over the years that you have been living. It is a difficult, but it is a rewarding process. Can I get an amen for anybody that's done it? It is a rewarding process to look at the pruning process and see all the branches that have been cut off of you, and now they're going to be burned to the fire, and I am able to produce fruit finally because I'm not burdened down with all this other stuff.
There is no pressure, none, to perform as a Christian. The fruit comes from God. The idea of abiding in ourselves, to be willingness to give to God, that's where all the pressure is. And it's not a hard decision. It's not when you recognize the benefits that come after it. It's hard to have that initial jump. Anybody, you remember swimming or learning how to swim? That first jump into the water is the most scariest thing you've ever done, isn't it? But once you start,
It's a world of possibilities at that point. It's so much fun to recognize that you're able to do something in your life you've never been able to do, but you had to get past the fear and the terrible, agonizing fear that comes in after that. The second thing I want us to talk about. Once we abide in Christ, we are called to produce fruit. We can say it in many ways. We can talk about the fruit of the Spirit. We can talk about the fruit of the Christian producing other Christians. If our fruit comes from Christ, and we are only called to abide in Him, there's something that's stated here. The only way not to produce fruit is a willingness to deny Christ and focus on ourselves. Let's go back to our verse. It says, "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself." Hear that again. I can't do it by myself. If you cut a branch off from the vine, from the stalk of the tree, and you put it, it's never going to produce fruit again. Why? Because it's separated from the thing that would nourish it. He continues on, "Except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." That was our only command, to abide and to keep. He continues on, "I am the vine, and ye are the branches, that ye abide in me, and I in him, and the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." And he continues on, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." There's a scary side to this, if you ask me. Something I think every Christian should be aware of. As he's given us this picture of this tree, and we see branches that are connected, but not getting anything. And the only way that this really comes about, and this picture draws close, he says this. He says, you can be connected and not doing anything. You can be connected to me, and I can be giving everything to you, and you just refuse, you refuse to bear fruit. You refuse. I would petition the world. I would petition every hearer that hears this message this one thing. He says, you might be connected into a church. You may be connected into a godly family. You may be connected in all these things, but if you are not producing fruit, God will sever you from this. He will. That doesn't mean that you can't be put back in. That doesn't mean that you're going to, and He's a grace-giving God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He's going to give you the chance to grow. He's going to give you the chance to produce fruit, but if you are not willing, and if you're just going to sit there and justify to yourself, well, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to be a Christian. I don't have to have fruit, and I don't have to do anything for my Savior and for my God and for my church and for my Lord. If you're just going to constantly negate these things in your lives, we are going to feel the wrath of God as He continues to prune us and prune us and prune us, until at some point He cuts us from the tree itself. That's what it says, doesn't it? If a man abide not in me, they're connected. And there is no fruit, and he's not accepting the receivings of God's Spirit in him. He said he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If our fruit comes from Christ, and it's our job to abide, the only way not to produce fruit, much like these branches, is a willingness to deny Christ and only focus on ourselves. Let me stop. Focus. Just hit this one home. We can boil this sermon down, this point down, to one thing, one word. It's called selfishness. If we could boil this whole idea of a tree that is stuck, that is inside the vine, and it is taking from the Savior, and it is not producing fruit, and will not produce fruit, it is because it is a very selfish, self-centered branch. I just want and want and want, and I have no desire to give. Does that make sense to everybody? I want blessings. I want prominence. I want all these things. I want God's blessing on my life. I want to feel the presence of God. I want all these things. And you come with the understanding. Every service is all about taking and having. And when you go out these doors, it's not about giving. And it's not about sharing. We recognize the problem and the flaw and why God will cut it at the root of it. We're done with it. We're done with doing all these things. It is a time for producing. I remember also, again, and listen, it seems, I don't know if it's because I got saved late in life, but I remember these sermons as vivid as it possibly can. I had an older gentleman, he was preaching this sermon about bearing fruit. And he says there's an interesting thing about fruit. A tree bears fruit not for itself but for others. Think about that for a second. Every fruit that ever bears, it is for other animals to take and to enjoy and to have. If the fruit rots and decays on the vine, it doesn't go back to the tree. If it rots and decays on the floor, you know what eats it? The worms and everything else. That nutrition doesn't come back to the tree. It has to make it all over again. The whole idea of a tree producing fruit is it produces it for others, and that is the Christian as well. We should produce for others. My last point, and then we're done. When we focus on abiding in Christ, we are blessed because of it. Come down to the last couple verses. We'll start where we left off in verse 5. I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. Last two verses, 7 and 8. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you. Notice that big if there. There's a contingency. If. If you are doing your part as a branch and you are in the Word of God, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, if you are living in the presence of God and that Word is living in your heart, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Can I get an amen? That means if you are abiding in Christ and Christ is abiding in you, you're not going to ask anything amiss is what the Bible tells us when we pray and it's not answered. We ask our prayers amiss and wrong. We do it out of the selfishness of our own hearts. But if we are doing it in Christ's stead, he's going to answer everything that we've asked of him. Maybe not in our time frame, but if we ask God to bless, he will bless. If he asks God to heal, he will heal. Some of you are like, well, he didn't answer my prayer. He will, if you abide. Here's another little quick tidbit of my life. I was brokenhearted and still am. I have family members that aren't saved. I was in college, and listen, I went straight from being saved for 2 years into a Christian college with Christian professors that had lived 50, 60 years of the Christian life. And I remember being brokenhearted in one of my professors' offices crying and saying, listen, I'm done praying for my brother. The Bible tells me I only have to say it once. I don't have to keep doing it as the heathen do. I said, I'm not going to continue pouring my heart out to my family in prayer, and I'm literally broken over the fact that they're going to die and go to hell if they don't accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And my professor looked me straight in the eye and says, don't ever stop praying. And I didn't get it because I just did the devotion. I'm not going to repeat my prayers that the heathens do that like they gave me heard. See, my problem was is I thought that God just got tired of me repeating. And God doesn't. God doesn't get tired of ever hearing our voice. But I'm going to tell you this. There's another text, and this is what my professor taught me. He says, they were talking about a heathen king, and there's this lady, and she kept pestering him over and over and over. And he says, I fear neither God nor man. He says, but if it will make her shut up, I will do what it is that she wants. I'm paraphrasing. The Bible doesn't say that. But God put it in Scripture for us to understand this. You never stop praying. God hears you, but it may not be the right time to do it. And who knows? Maybe we'll just wear God's thin and just say, hey, we want you to do this. No, he wants us to stay in constant communication with him. Going back to our main point and our only job, he wants us to abide in him. So if God gives you one problem, just one, He wants you to take that problem to Him every day. If God gives you one hurdle to jump over and you think it's too much for you, He wants you to take that and bring it to Him every day. If He gives you the world of opportunities and you don't know which one to choose, give them to God. And He will put you in the right direction you need to be. Finishing out, He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Second half, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Three things in this last verse, verse 8, that just completely wrap up in a beautiful bow what it is that God wants in your life. The very first thing is this. He says, hereby is my Father glorified when you abide. When you stick to it, and that's going to be the hardest thing in your life, because you're going to be pushed and you're going to be shaken and you're going to be yelled at from every other verse, but He wants you to abide in Him. When you abide, you know what you do? You bring glory to your Savior. If you will stick inside that circle, no matter how much it goes about, when you stay in this circle, when you stay in Christ, when you stay in the presence of God on a personal, loving, compassionate level, you're going to glorify God in every aspect of your life. With every song you sing, with every devotion you do, with every single invitation you give, with every prayer you pray, you will glorify God with the little things, because abiding takes nothing more than effort. Let me say that again and let it sink in. Abiding takes nothing more than effort. You just have to commit to it. Commitment to stay in Christ. He says, if you'll do that, you will glorify my God. Listen, not lifting up holy hands, not singing to the best of your ability, not performing great behind the pulpit. It's not about inviting thousands of people to glorify God. It's just doing the very simple thing of committing to do it. So what if it only produces one or a thousand? It's the idea that you did it. Think of the talents and what was done there. For the individual who had 10 talents, what did he do? He did exactly what was told to him, and he gave tenfold. To the one that had 5, he did exactly what was told to him, and he gave fivefold. But for the one that had 1, he said, I'm going to do nothing. I'm not. He wasn't abiding, he wasn't listening, he wasn't doing. He was selfishly holding on to it so that he would not fear the things that were to come. The Bible asks us, if we will do this, if we will abide, we will glorify God. But two other things. Hereby my Lord is glorified, that ye bear much fruit. The second thing is, this is how you judge yourself. Go back, I want to ask you, were you the best Christian this past year that you could have been? I see a lot of shaking heads, and that's a good thing. Because that means you're really doing it. You're putting forth the effort. And you say, yep, I was the best Christian I could have been. I can't help you. I can't be your pastor. But if you'll sit there and if you'll really reflect and say, how could I have been a better Christian? Could I have been, listen, this is me, could I have been a little less tempered? Could I have been a little bit more cool-minded? Did I have, don't answer. Am I red? I feel red. Don't answer. But could you be a little bit more patient? Could you have prayed for your neighbors a little bit more than you have? Listen, that's so big in my mind. Because we live in a day and age where we're disconnected from everybody. How dare we live a life that we don't know the people that live right next to us? Let that sink in. That live. They eat there. They live there. They celebrate there. They mourn there. They do all their living within 100 yards of us, and we don't know their name. Could we do better with our neighbors? Could we do better with our family? Could you have called your siblings a little bit more this year? Could you have given a little bit more effort at your job? Could you have done it without complaining and murmuring? Could you have served the church a little bit more? See, there's so much that we can ask of ourselves, and if we're honest, we can really understand that if there's something in our lives that we can produce fruit, we should focus on that. Focus on abiding and let God direct us. Hey, listen, if we're going to abide in Him, He'll lead us. He says, go get to know your neighbors. When He brings it up in your devotions, go get to know your neighbors. When He says, hey, be a little bit more calm. Be still and know that I am God. Maybe we should take a break. When God puts it on our heart to sing a new song, we should sing it. If we will abide, we will produce the fruit. If we will abide, we will glorify God. And the last one, He says, so shall ye be my disciples. As we come to a close, Jesus tells us here, He says, if you'll abide, then you're truly mine. I love this because it brings one more text, one more thing to mind, and then we'll finish. Jesus was preaching unto His disciples, unto the masses. And as He's preaching, He says, hey, your family is on the outskirts of this group, this audience. Your mom, your brothers, your sister, they're all out there. And He goes, they are not my, say it with me, family. You are my family. See, when we listen, when we abide, we become God's true family. The disciples that mean something. I'm going to say this, and I want it to sink in. And I'm not using this as a kick or a spur to anybody. But if we find ourselves not abiding, how many of you, now listen, this is, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about somebody that you've known. They say that they're a Christian, but they don't act like it, raise your hand. You've known a Christian, said that they were a Christian, but they don't act like it. How many of you, you've recognized somebody, and it is almost as if they live in complete juxtaposition to what they say that they are. They're a part of it, but not really. They're at a distance of everything they are. Now listen, I know my life. I am genuinely in love with my Savior. I love my job. I love coming up here and preaching. It scares me to death sometimes, but I do like it. But one of the things I love more than anything else about being a Christian is when I see people understand that they need to be pruned, and they need to be part of the vine. When there's personal growth involved. Listen, you won't be able to keep me down. I will be so, I guess the word is blooming, with all the things God's done because of how people grow. As we come to a close, I want you to be a disciple. I want you to glorify God. I want you to produce fruit. That all those things only request one thing of you today. One. Is that when you leave these doors, and at this very moment, when we're about to end in prayer, you commit to abide in Christ. Let me ask you something, church. Do you want to produce fruit? Yes or no? Oh, man. I preach to a church that really doesn't care. Say it like you mean it. You want to produce fruit?
Yes.
Do you want to glorify God?
Do
you want to be His disciple?
Yes.
You've got one thing to do. Make a commitment to abide to Him. Go back to the basics. And you love Jesus with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. You don't have to worry about anything else. God's going to work it out. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You've got one job. Focus on abiding in Christ. Let's pray. With every head bowed, with every eye closed. You say, preacher, it's a new year, it's a new day. And I really want to listen to what it is that you've said. I want to abide, I want to be there in Christ, but I'm having difficulty in my own life putting things out. I'm having difficulty pruning, I'm having difficulty with abiding in Him. I'm getting pushed around by the world and by Satan. Would you pray for me? I want to do that. Just you, me, no one's looking around. If you want someone to pray for you and to help you abide, would you raise your hand? Thank you so much. Hands all over the room. God is so good. He's a wonderful, blessing God. And He wants to bless you, and He wants to produce fruit in you, and He wants to grow you, and He wants to make you do amazing things in your life. But there's only one thing you have to do, and that's to commit. Commit to follow. Commit to receive from God all the things he wants to do. Receive that grace, receive that blessing, receive that direction in your life. You just have to abide. This is no time to deny the basics of our faith. Pray. Fellowship with other believers. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. Understanding and rightly dividing the word of truth. Devotions. If you would commit to that today, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for all those who raise their hands. Lord, that you would bless them and give them courage and give them a passion going out of these doors to do what it is you've asked them to do, to abide. It's not difficult. It just takes commitment. So, Lord, help us to commit to bear fruit for you and for your kingdom. Lord, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we do pray, our Lord, Savior, and friend. Amen. Brother George, would you lead us in this song?
Would you stand this